started. Thank you for coming tonight. Welcome to City Council, 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 28th. Introduce the meeting and acknowledge that the press and public were duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. Join me if you can. The invocation followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the rain that we so sorely needed today. Again, thank you for this piece of paradise that we get to live and work and play in. Watch over us tonight. Guide our conversations. Help us to do what's best for the island. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nicole, roll call.
Councilmember Anderson.
Here.
Councilmember Bogosian.
Here.
Councilmember Hahn.
Here.
Councilmember Myers.
Here.
Councilmember Pierce.
Here.
Councilmember Popson.
Here.
Councilmember Streetman.
Here.
Councilmember Ward.
Here.
Mayor Pounds.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. First item is citizens' comments. For those that have signed up, just a reminder, we have a time limit of 3 minutes. Nicole, you got the order.
Mr. Jim Ray.
Jim, just a reminder, state your name and address or city, whichever you're comfortable with.
Jim Rye, and it's pronounced Rye, like Rye Bread, Rye Whiskey. 3904 Cameron Boulevard. I've been around for a while, and I'm the face behind some of the late night, early morning emails that you guys have got from a group, so I wanted to put a name with a face. I know some of you, I don't know all of you, I've been around since the Front Beach Floyd days, the Sportsman's Club, Palms Restaurant, Hudson's Pavilion. I served on the Planning Commission for a number of years. I'm the only member that has actually served on the Real Property Advisory Committee that wasn't a sitting council member. It was an ad hoc committee back then at a particular time. So I've been past president of the Exchange Club, so I've been active in the community. It's some new faces have been around since I've been around, but I know a lot of the staff, and we have a great staff here on the island. We're really lucky to have the team that we have. And you know, I take time to come out today, and I said, well, why even bother? You know, sometimes we have this, you know, it's just a checklist that, you know, citizens get up and say their comments. But I think it was important for me to come down tonight and talking about the marina and what's going on down there. And you know, a lot has changed. You know, the old days, you could buy a case of beer and walk outside and put the case in the cooler and drink a beer down there with your buddy. But, you know, a lot has changed. And I think it's a liability down there now to have a lot of drinking going on down there. And some of the language in the lease that you're considering tonight, that you go into executive session, it talks about a liquor license. And I don't know if that's intended to be liquor license or beer and wine. But I think when you're a national recognized trial attorney, you could write a lease and you could argue it any way you wanted to argue it. But I think we need to be clear if we're talking beer and wine or if we're talking about an actual liquor license down there. So, I mean, one of the challenges about the Real Property Advisory Committee is you get new people every 4 years. And it's difficult to really understand what's going on down there. So I encourage you to really consider hard. You know, that we had an RFP and now it's been modified 6 times. And now they want to take it over. I don't think we need a boat club down there. I mean, I don't know what their footprint's going to be down there with their boat club, but I mean, I don't think the island residents really need or want a boat club down there. I mean, the original reason to purchase it was so we don't have condominiums down there. We don't have condominiums down there, so it's hard to express everything in 3 minutes, but I thought it was important to come down and say something. Thank you.
Mr. Jeff Berta.
I've got some stuff to pass out.
Thank you, Jeff.
My name is Jeff Bird. I live on Hardnett Boulevard, and I'm here to talk about the marina. So what I just passed out was something that we had at the rec center, and you can see on page 2 exactly when that was, February 22nd of 2020. And I was at that meeting. I'm sure a lot of you in this room were there. Three questions, right? 3 minutes, I'm going to try to go through this as fast as I can, but what amenities should the marina start offering? What should they continue to offer, and what should they stop? So I point out that a lot of what we wanted has been done, so it's pretty good. If you really look down the list, some of it's already been accomplished. The new restaurant, the public dock, it's good stuff. But I want to focus on the last page, which is what we should stop. And if you run down the list from in order, is long-term and unfavorable leases, motorized water sports, non-resident boat launches and slips, dry boat storage, more commercial activity, charging residents for parking, boat club. So we're talking about something serious tonight with this transfer. How does this match up? Right? How does this make sense when the residents literally said, here's what we don't want? And I understand that there's a lot of information that is not public on what the new tenant is going to do or what he's not going to do. But if you read down what we don't want, it sounds like they represent everything we said we don't want. I just don't understand. It's literally, here's what we should stop, and then we have someone coming in saying, here's what we're going to do, and it's the exact opposite of what we said we wanted. So it just doesn't make sense to me. It kind of mystifies me in general. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Mr. Andrew Vega.
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I'm Andrew Vega, and I live at 104 Sparrow Drive. I'm here to talk today as we approach Independence Day about freedom, public service, and public policy. Any opinions offered are mine personally, do not reflect the opinion of the Air Force or DoD, which I'm still a part of. I forwarded you documentation via email about my personal history to help you have perspective on who I am and why I'm qualified to speak to you tonight. Since my graduation from the Air Force Academy and commissioning, I earned my Air Force pilot wings, and with 1,200 plus hours flown over 450 flights in a combat zone as a C-17 pilot. I've defended freedom my entire adult life, on active duty and as a reservist. I've put myself at risk to defend our principles. To lead in a free society requires great personal sacrifice. To be an elected public official in a free society requires your willingness to be criticized, particularly face-to-face. I boxed in the Air Force Academy. I never backed down from taking a punch or delivering one. I became good friends with some of my toughest opponents. It was also one of the best character development programs I participated in. It also exposed those who are weak and cowards. Since the election last November, I've spent time listening and watching to see how this council would be public servants and lead this community. As I listen to committee and council meetings, I'm concerned by the comments made and what appears to be a steady dose of public policies and intent to the road that will erode at the freedoms within our community. I'm thankful for those who are willing to expose themselves to the line of fire, willing to answer questions in a public forum where they know they'll be held accountable. Unfortunately, we have council members afraid to be exposed beyond their required committee, council meetings, and their keyboard. If you are too cowardly to face your citizens, answer their questions in public, you are unfit for public service. It is disappointing to not see council members at scheduled community events like the ones at the Rec Center or Beach Suite. Is it too hard for one or two members to show up at each event? As a public servant, it's your responsibility to serve all citizens, not just the ones who voted for you, but the special interest groups that marketed for you in the 2021 election. I'll close with Article 6 of the Code of Conduct of the Armed Forces. I'll never forget that I'm an American fighting for freedom, responsible for my actions, and dedicated to the principles which made my country free. I will trust in my God and the United States of America. I will always fight for what's within integrity, for what is right, and for freedom. Thank you.
Ms. Glenda Nemus.
Hello. I think most of you know me. I'm Glenda Nemus. I'm a full-time resident. I also have a next-door private group that discusses issues of Isle of Palms. And as I read the agenda for this meeting, I saw four things that I wanted to reflect on. I have been a past member of the ATAX committee. As you know, I got tired of pushing that rock up the hill. But anyway, I'm looking for ways that I can make a difference. The group of 350 people do respond, call, write, phone. So even though I'm speaking for myself, I do think I reflect some of their feelings as well. Giving ATAX money to IOPCO Chamber of Commerce is not acceptable to many of those 1,440 short-term rental owners who collect the money and pay this tax with their very costly homes. It's not acceptable to the neighbors who endure the compromise to their quality of life, giving them $10,000 more from the ATAX funds when we only have $4,000 and without a proper application, and when we've already given $1 million already or will by the end of the year to CBB for promotion for the island, and CBB has given $30,000, I assume, of our Isle of Palms money to the chamber to help them get started. I am really wondering why we're doing $10,000 more from our 65% fund. That makes $1,010,000 for promotion for the island. I just wanted to point that out, that we neighbors don't feel that that's a good thing to do, but unfortunately most of the property owners don't have a voice on the island. Also, we need an independent board like Folly did for our tourism promotion. That way, we can have cut out the middleman. We don't give the money to a group that we can't belong to. I can't belong to the Chamber of Commerce as a resident and be a voting member. And even as a short-term rental owner, I doubt, you know, if I want to pay to join that to tell them how to spend my money. So anyway, $10,000 to promote for social media for them, I think is not necessary. The next thing I want to speak about is consideration of giving the money to CBB again. Pretty much people on the island have spoken that they're not very happy about that. If we have to do it while we are also taking steps to form our own independent tourism promotion board, then let's see some steps toward forming that board and having an alternative that would be acceptable to people on the island. Next, relaxing our environmental protection rules against single-use plastics is not needed.
Ms. Nemus, you'll need to finish up what you're saying, please.
It's a fact that plastic supplies are no more effective than paper supplies in the supply chain. And last of all, concerning the marina, we're being intimidated by a lawsuit. And I'd just like to say that I don't believe we've received all of the documentation and information we need for due diligence before we make our decision. So please, please consider doing that before you move forward. Thank you very much.
Ms. Kathy Campbell.
Kathy Campbell, I live on 20th Avenue. The ATAX Task Force has concluded its 6 months of meetings and made three recommendations to the IOP Council. First, request more transparency and accountability from the Charleston Visitors Bureau, where IOP sent $733,000 last year and is gearing up to send another $1 million this year. According to members of the ATAX Committee and two members of the task force, that request was made to CBB a long time ago, and the only change they have made to their business model was to purchase a website name for IOP, to which we have seen nothing done. There are still no metrics or accountability from CBB, which are required by state law and local ordinance. Helen Hill of CBB has been asked to separate out IOP funds and keep an accounting of them, but she has declined. The CBB has no interest in transparency or accountability since 1984. We do know, however, that the CBB has approximately 100 employees to whom it pays over $5 million in salaries, and IOP is gearing up to pay one-fifth of those salaries this year. What are we getting in return? The second recommendation was advocate for changes in state law to give residents more control over how the money is spent. This is a long-term potential solution. Everyone surely agrees that the funds, since IOP is basically full, should be used to manage tourism and give tourists a better experience rather than promote tourism. I have spoken with Joe Bustos briefly about this, and this should be pursued, but we need change now. The third recommendation, support the IOP Chamber of Commerce as our direct marketing organization in the future. As a resident, I am excited about the new chamber and how it plans to help our wonderful local businesses, but these businesses receive their own hospitality taxes, which have nothing to do with the ATAX money charged to overnight guests. This third recommendation is also a long-term one, as state law demands that a DMO have a tourism history before receiving any funds, and the IOP Chamber does not. My recommendation for change now is the same as members of the ATAX committee presented 9 months ago. Follow the Folly Beach model. It's working beautifully for Folly Beach tourists and residents alike. Mayor Goodwin graciously came to a task force meeting and explained. In 2004, they set up a committee of volunteer residents who chose an existing DMO with an established record to which it gives its ATAX money and oversees its use. All IOP needs to do now is set up a committee of volunteers, select the DMO, and meet with them on a plan to move forward for the best use of this ATAX money. It's pretty simple. Why is the Folly Beach model being ignored? I'm not sure what Councilmember Streeton had in mind when setting up this task force and heading it, as he was council liaison for the ATAX committee and had most of these recommendations presented to him last year. Former council kicked the can down the road to Mayor Pounds and this council. Lest we have all forgotten, we live in a democratic republic.
Campbell,
I vote for you.
You'll need
your I'm almost done. I vote for you. You represent me. Your yes vote to give $1 million more dollars this year to the CVB is not in the interest of tourists or residents. Who are you representing?
Bordy Twyford?
Bordy Twyford, 19 Edgewater Alley. First, I want to say thanks to the council for creating an amendment that gives boating access and parking back to the residents. In my view, the mission of the marina is to preserve and provide access to the water and our resources to the residents. Right now, there are 30 slips at our marina that are rented by the public. 30. Who knows how many of those are actual residents? There are 600 people on the waiting list for slips at our marina. Clearly, we're failing at our mission to provide access to the residents. The new owners want a boat club. That's an ominous thought for a lot of people that don't know about boat clubs. The fact is, in the entire hub, the entertainment hub and boating hub of Mount Pleasant, their boat club has 6 boats. The boat club at Bohick at Akiowa has 10, excuse me, 8, less than 10 boats. In the area behind our fuel station, you could fit 16 boats where the rental operation is now without any effect on traffic, on boat chaos at the ramp, or on space taken from the docks. Each boat is said to be allocated to 7 to 8 families. If he had 10 boats, which he most likely will not, but if he had 10 boats, we could provide access to 70 island families. Unique to this boat club is the fact that they are willing to share a membership with 2 families. We could double our access to 140 families from Isle of Palms. He's also said, and I've talked to him, that priority access will be given to island families, residents of the island that pay taxes first. So any family, it seems to me, that wants to be on the water and can't now, will have that access with this small boat club. On the issue of consumption, I don't buy the argument that a beer on the back deck of a marina store is going to corrupt our children. when only a boat ramp away, there's a literally a Chuck E. Cheese with alcohol. I love Islander 71. I go there all the time. I support them. I wish them all the success, just like we all do. But you can't have a cocktail over there without a toddler running between your legs. Let's not pretend that just on the other side of the ramp, that having a beer on the back deck with no server,
Mr. Twyford, if you could wrap that
with
up.
With no bartender and no bar is going to corrupt the children. Lastly, and real quick, on the issue of due diligence, the new owners have four other marinas. They have invested major cash in those marinas, not leveraged money. They've shown you, and you have the data, that they are well-funded and well-capitalized. They can pay the rent. Lastly, the due diligence that we've all done with this existing owner is complete. They are not friends of the city. They are not friends of the marina. And they are not friends of the residents by putting parking, paid parking, on every inch of our marina. We have a golden opportunity to bring in fresh energy and provide more access, which is the mission, to our residents. Support the amendment. Please vote yes. Thanks.
Mr. Gerald Johnson.
Good evening. I'm Gerald Johnson. I've been on this island 51 years. I raised three children, and two of them come back home, and my wife and I are married 53 years, and I lost it this past January. But I served Isle of Palm Volunteer Fire Department for 20 years and ran for council. One time, I lost, good or bad. Probably good in some respect. There's just a few things, you new members, that I really do not know you, the ones that have just come aboard and everything. Most likely we add up the time that you've lived on this island, and I've been here longer than all of you put together. That's immaterially, but there's a few things that I see and I hear that I want to say that to y'all to think seriously about. A lot of you were elected. There was a card with a group of you run. I'm asking y'all to be individual human beings and individual people without clicks, without anything. If you make a decision without knowing the people all involved, not influenced by outside friends and businesses, you can take, when your counsel comes in, your friendship and your relationship should stop. You should not, when you finish your counsel, you'll be friends and everything with them. And meetings, I've heard this hearsay, y'all have meetings here, other people have meetings. Y'all get together. This is a big room. Bring all parties in and sit down like man to man, woman to woman, and everything, and iron everything out and quit. People quit differing behind everybody's back. So it's just that, you know, let's be human beings and let's take care of the thing. Sit down with the groups at party and iron it out. There's people that don't even know people that's involved in a lot of this issues that we have going on today. And, you know, don't be a kid and I'm gonna take my toys and go home. I ain't gonna play with you no more because you don't do what I want. And as the old saying goes, to think about change, there's changes going on this island. But the old saying goes, a good friend of mine said, most people move to this island because they like what they see. When they get here, they turn around and said, we didn't do that like we did at home, so we need to change it. Why did you come? You needed to stay home if you like what you had at home. And involving integrity, the quality of being honest, and be strong moral principle. Stand on your own two feet and be a person that we can like. Thank you.
Mr. Jay Lee.
So real quick before Jay gets started, we asked Jay to come as head of the IOP Water and Sewer Commission, so this may be a little bit different than a citizen comment. kind of akin to a presentation or maybe some Q&A that we typically don't do with residents. Right. Jay happens to be a resident as well.
I hope so. 38 years now. Jay Lee, chairman of the Isle of Palms Water and Sewer Commission. Either 1300 Ocean Boulevard or whatever the address is across the street, either one. Some of the citizens have reached out to the administration and our office. We're in the process. I'm going to address the crowd, too, because it is citizens.
Jay, if you don't mind, just stay close to the mic for those that are watching.
Okay. We're in the process of installing brand new water meters throughout the island. In the next 30 days, individual property owners will have capacity to see what their usage is. It'll be an app that you can put on your telephone, so any discretions or disputes, you should be able to determine it really well. And we'll also have the ability at the office to monitor it. So if we see any anomalies with usage for a particular property, we can pinpoint it to day and time, minute, as to when this anomaly starts. And that's the main, one of the main things. There's a new little building going up on the corner of 41st and Waterway Boulevard. Some people think it's an office building. It's not really. It's an expansion and consolidation of the Forest Trails or the Wild Dunes sewer plant that's in Wild Dunes right now. So we'll be taking all that capacity, using it. It'll be a lot cleaner smelling, not as atrocious in July. So we're hoping, and we're on schedule with that. We're actually I can't say ahead of budget, but we've had no cost override, so the expense on that project is going better than we expected with everything else going on the supply side. That's about all I've got, Mayor. I mean, if you any questions from the council? Yes, Jim.
I've got received quite a few emails, phone calls from people that have said to me recently that their water bills have tripled, and there's some sitting in the audience tonight, and I was just wondering, have you heard this, and
there's been no rate increase. We had that problem with CPW water with the pipe break, so we had to go back to our own production, but there's been no rate increase. So again, if there's any anomalies with the homeowners, would be to contact our people. Because I didn't know anything about it. A lady that went from $40 a month to like $1,300 in 1 month, and it was an anomaly. There was no breaks. There was no issues on either side of the meter. Which, for information, if there's a problem from the meter to your house, regrettably it's your nickel, just because of the meter. But the meters were checked. No problem with the meters, so we adjusted. We brought it back to where she was whole. But, you know, things like that happen. Always the first question I ask is the neighbor put in a new pool? That's always the first question, because, I mean, that'll drink a lot of water. And there is a one time a year where you can get more of a freebie for filling a pool if you need to clean it, drain it, whatever. But I've not heard, I don't get the day-to-day.
Well, would you recommend that these people come individually present their case to the Water Commission, or what? These concerns are very real.
Yeah, if it can't be adjusted, you know, via the ladies in the front office, and it's a real concern. But, you know, again, the first thing, check for leaks. But, you know, that's something we can do, or have people do it. I mean, again, our expense comes from the line to the meter. Anything from the meter to the house is typically the homeowner's deal.
Jay, I think the complaints I'm hearing are similar to what Jimmy has mentioned, but they're correlating to the meter change, so that, they had a $100 water bill prior to, then all of a sudden the meter gets changed, and now it's $1,000. And
yeah,
it's
now,
not
and
just one, it's that, heard this numerous times.
Yeah, so that's an absolutely anomaly, so that we need to hear about that. We need that. During the course of a meter, and it's the same meter, and it's the same identical meter, new version, just with a radio device where we can get that information. But, I'll look into that with Chris and company tomorrow.
Hey, Jay, where are you guys in the project of changing all the meters on the island? Is that completed at this point?
I think there's probably three-quarters of them have been changed. The meter, physical meter change will be done by the end of next week. The electronic portion of it's probably going to take a couple of weeks to get tweaked. So by the third week, end of July, it all should be automated. Rusty, you
looking at your question? Yeah, I just wanted to say that, I mean, even though it's anecdotal, I didn't have anybody contact me directly. I did see some social media traffic about the sudden spike.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a number of people. So yeah. When we start talking words like anomaly, I mean, we have, you know, roughly speaking, what I saw was maybe a dozen people that commented on it about how they spiked tremendously in one month. I would say that's more than an anomaly. So
yeah, and
there's something there that needs to be
checked. And it might be, and again, I'm not hands-on in the field, but the simple transition, but the meter, you would think, and I would think, that the reading, when they take out the old one, the new one starts at zero. So if there's some math issues or calculations, I'll look into that. But that, I mean, otherwise, I don't have any information.
I hope I don't get one of those.
Who are you going to call?
Yeah.
I don't know if there'd be any questions more for the board.
Okay.
I don't know if that'd be proper, but if any.
It would be okay if the mayor suspend the rules of order and ask if any citizens
have any comments or questions? Yes, sir.
Gary Nessler on 22nd Avenue. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yes, we are one of the anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
We brought it to the city. Excuse me, we brought it across the street like we should.
Mm-hmm.
The answer was, well, the meter that you had was not working properly, so therefore with this new meter technology, this is the way it's going to be. So our meters went from $100 and something up to $300.
We were getting
free water, and they asked us about the pool. We said there was no additions to the pool, and you know, we know Bell, and we know everybody
sure.
in the office, so we were very nicely received. However, they came back and said, "Well, that's just your new water bill."
The only response I would have right now would be that if that particular meter, and they're all identified,
yep.
can be checked, you know, through a third-party technician.
And who would do that?
That would be a third party. I don't know. That's really a Bill question.
So it would be up to him?
No, I mean, we, as a matter of course, you know, if there's a concern like that, we will take the meter in and have it inspected,
mm-hmm.
make sure it is accurate or not accurate in that case. And then that would be a determining factor on the adjustment. But you know, how long ago was that meter?
Well, it was the last two billing cycles now that we have.
Because I'm sure there's a record of the meter. I'm sure there's a record of the meter. We can go back and track it.
We have all the records too, so anything we can help.
Let me jump in, because I mean, I've heard one or two cases, but unfortunately, y'all get the phone calls before we do. Jan's great at answering them, though.
I'm also one of the anomalies, and I have a friend in Muldoon, so they just are in the phase of getting theirs. I've had mine for a couple months.
Uh-huh.
But I went from having a water bill that was like, and nothing has changed in my house, and I have a septic tank. I'm not even on sewer.
That was going to be your next question,
yeah,
because
the sewer thing,
if you
don't
got
have a pool either.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed.
Okay.
Otherwise, my house, I have the same two teenagers, and I have very efficient appliances because it's new renovation. But I was told the same thing, once you start actually researching the census meters, Bronco services, the installation process and all of it, these complaints are not just from our town. Like, this is kind of a theme that you see when these get changed over.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just us. It's in Iowa. It's in Omaha.
Let me do some more research, because as I said,
I think to me the offensive part of it was, well, you've been getting free water, and so now you're not getting free water anymore. Well, I lived on Sullivan's before, which has very expensive water.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a bill as high as the bill I'm getting now, and I had sewer over there. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'll do that, because as I said, to me, it's one of those things where I don't get the daily reports, but to research it. And
I think that, you know, I think there's some data that can be collected on the Chris Jordan side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, has the usage, as the new meters have gone installed in those sections of town, if they're so smart and we can like read it so well, has the usage gone up? Like by section, are we, I mean, were generating plenty of revenue from the minutes. I went back and read like a year and a half of minutes. Like, I know, you know, when the new sewer usage fees were put in, and that they're punitive, like our water fees are. So I think that, you know, people that are getting these new meters or being told they're using more water are getting these punitive charges. Like, I had a $300 bill, and $100 of it was a fee. That's insane. So okay. I think that there needs to be some collective, like, discussion of data at the city level, at the IOP sewer level, that's brought to council and brought to the community to figure out what is going on.
Douglas, that will be on our next sit-down with the city. Won't it?
It will now. Can you leave your cell phone, or are you good?
We have a cell phone number.
I know. Don't we all?
Where's that rail and the tar and feathers?
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
All right, next item is consent agenda. You can see items A through F. There are motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second. Thank you. Questions?
Do we not want to do anything?
Comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next is reports from standing committees. First will be Ways and Means. Maybe if you'll put up the financial page, we'll look at results through the end of May. Thank you. This is in the packet. It's hard to see on the screen, but certainly in the packet you can take a look at. So again, this is through the end of May, so almost the end of our fiscal year, which is end of June, so 1 month to go. So if you were on target, everything would be at a 92% level, and you can see from a revenue standpoint, top left, just about everything is over over budget from a revenue standpoint, and just about everything except one item is under budget on the expense side on the right side. So the top left and right are total revenues and total expenditures. Down below on the left is our general fund revenue, and again, if you look at the percentage of fiscal year 22 budget, other than other license, which typically gets caught up by the end of the year, is significantly over budget. So a really good year from a revenue standpoint for the city. General fund expenditures to the right. Again, if you look at percentage of fiscal year 22 budget, if you were right on budget, everything would be at 92%. So you can see we're right at or a little bit under from that standpoint. So our revenues are running ahead of prior year. If you'll recall, our fiscal 22 budget was fairly conservative coming out of the COVID environment, not knowing exactly what we were going to experience from a tourism standpoint or business license or building permits. And again, you can see that all of those are significantly ahead of schedule from where we budget them. Current forecast indicates we will have significant excess revenues from a general fund standpoint. City Council will decide how to take care of the excess probably in the October-ish time frame when we close out our 630 year end and recognize all the revenue that'll come in. At the end of May, we have about $31.5 million in cash deposits. About $3.5 million of that is unspent bond proceeds on some of our drainage projects we have going on. About $1 million is unspent federal ARP money. And about $12 million is restricted for tourism-related expenditures or beach preservation, which gives us about $15 million in unrestricted monies. So all in all, a really, really good year from a budget standpoint for the city. So real quick, from a projects standpoint, Amy, if we'll go to the step on the projects, just a few that we'll update for you. Let's go ahead and get started, Amy. Real quick, if you pull it up, that's fine. If not, this again, it's in the packet.
So we have a couple of projects going on from a phase three drainage standpoint. You've been on Waterway, a whole lot of work going on at 30th Avenue, major outfall project from 30th all the way out to the Intercoastal Waterway where we cut across the Harbor Golf Course. That particular work on the golf course is wrapped up. You've seen hopefully some information on our website. We'll have other information coming soon. And Waterway and 30th is going to require us to have road closure starting in mid-August. We originally were looking at doing that in mid-July, but pushing that out to at least when some schools will be back in and our crowds may be down just a little bit. So that'll be 30th and Waterway will be around mid-August time frame. And then Waterway and 36th, again, another major outfall project that will start a little bit later in the fall. There will be some road closures around September to mid-October. And again, we'll have social media and resident information as we get closer to those closed dates. Our outfall project on 41st Avenue have most of the permits in hand, looking to hopefully get the rest of those shortly. We've had a kickoff meeting with some of the state folks and our Thomas and Hutton, our engineers, to determine next steps when we have projects in hand and are ready to go. Thank you, Amy. Go back one more to the comprehensive training program. Right there. Thank you. So this is underway and will be finished by the end of the year, looking at the rest of the island where we have hot spots or major projects that we'll need to identify and figure out how to fund and when to work on. You can see the work in progress on the left-hand side. This has been going for, I guess, the balance of this year for the most part. And again, looking to be wrapped up before the end of this calendar year. See on the right-hand side, our next steps, looking at cost estimates for our high-impact areas, finalizing solutions for other low-priority improvements. So good work that is happening here and looking at other places on the island that we need to attack next. Our underground utility conversion at 21st and Palm. Everything's queued up for the most part and ready to go, but this will be constructed in the fall or in winter of 2022, so late part of this year. New project for you, the pickleball court construction and outdoor basketball rehab at our rec center. We've put the RFP out for those two particular pieces on June 15th. Deadline is June 29th. Deadline for proposals from interested contractors will be July 7th. You can see the other dates there. Notice to proceed probably in the fall. Nora Jean's over there somewhere, but probably in the fall time frame that we'll get that done. So excited to bring that to our rec center. Desiree, anything you want to add?
No, sir.
Good, thank you. So real quick, from a minutes standpoint, from Ways and Means, we had our meeting at 5 on Tuesday, June 21st. Most of the items are already taken care of on our consent agenda. The only two items that were not on the consent agenda, preliminary discussion of fiscal 22 positive net results that we just talked about a moment ago. Again, once we close out the year end, we will decide where to place that money from an excess revenue over expenses standpoint. We talked about the ATAX task force recommendations on the 30% of our state ATAX funds. We'll have some more conversation around that in a moment. So we've got two items that we need to vote on from the Ways and Means. The first one is recommendation from the ATAX committee to award a grant to the IOP Chamber of Commerce in the amount of $10,000 to fund a social media experience for the island. Is there a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, before yes. we do that, the danger of attending a meeting is you might get asked to come on up. I was going to see if, I guess you could suspend the rules of order. I'd like to ask Mr. Burns if he wouldn't mind coming up and telling us there was a change in decision on the ATAX $10,000 item. Would you mind just explaining to us why the recommendation had been changed and what the rationale was for that change? Is that something you'd be willing to do?
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. You need to have a vote?
Yeah.
Okay. I move to have Mr. Burns suspend the rules of order to have Mr. Burns come up and talk to us and explain to us about that
second
change.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ray, this is the last
spot. Should have asked you.
This is the last meeting Ray's coming to.
Shouldn't have denied running
high. Well, can you clarify what you mean by
the change? I think there was originally a deferral of the decision to consider the $10,000 because I think the discussion had centered around Chamber being a new entity, not a proven DMO. I'm not sure that this is even for DMO. Just the clarification of where the money's coming from, what it's going to be used for. I think it would be helpful because I think that with the five members of the new ATAX committee, I think the vote went 4-1, which was a different vote than what had happened previously. I just want to kind of, for the public to understand, and for myself to understand what changed in your mind.
Well, originally, we voted to defer or to table the request for the $10,000 because the request, the application was to fund the development of their website. And we learned that CBB was funding some number, $25,000, $30,000, it might be more now from what I understand. And we just didn't understand what that whole relationship and how our $10,000 would fit in that whole thing, because we're already paying CBB hundreds of thousands of dollars, and now they're funding the chamber's website development, and now we're being asked to throw another $10,000 at that, and we just felt like we needed more information, so we voted to table that that request in order to get more information. Subsequently, the ATAX committee had a series of resignations to a point where we had no quorum. That original application was, I think, in April. So shortly after that meeting, we had resignations, and we did not have a quorum. The committee was ineffective because it couldn't have a meeting. So we recently had our first meeting with some of the new members, I think it was last week, and the chamber came back with another presentation about the request for the $10,000. However, they changed what their request for the money was. Instead of asking for $10,000 for their website development, they asked for $10,000 for a social media within their website, developing a social media content situation. I'm not really knowledgeable about how all those things work, but the $10,000 was changed to being from the website development to development of a social media component to their website. So in that component was supposed to be geared towards tourism, promotion of tourism. So, you know, I had recommended, well, why don't you give us a new application and then we'll deal with the new application, and that didn't go anywhere. So ultimately, a motion was made by one of the committee members, one of the new committee members, to approve the request in light of it being for the social media component. And as a matter of fact, I even said, well, look, why don't you do a new application? We'll have a special meeting next week, meaning this week, and then we can discuss it based on what the new application. Well, that didn't fly either. So so the motion was made to approve the $10,000 for the social media component of the website. It was seconded, and we voted, and the vote passed. Full disclosure, I voted in favor of it, as did three other members, and one member voted against it. And nobody's really asked me why I voted for it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I voted for it because I see CBB as a real problem. And it's the big elephant in the room, and nobody's willing to deal with it except for the ATAX committee. And a new ruling, the TURC, which is the Tourism Expenditure Review Committee, is the oversight organization for ATAX funds. They solicited an opinion from the state attorney general concerning whether a municipality can form their own DMO, nonprofit DMO, for the purpose of tourism promotion, when there already exists a nonprofit DMO for the same purpose.
The opinion came back about the end of May, and they said, the opinion said, no, you can't do that. So while I don't agree with that opinion, and it is just an opinion, that's where we are. So I said, okay, as far as I'm concerned, CVB is a problem. Our only alternative in getting an alternative nonprofit DMO was the Chamber of Commerce at this point in time. That's the only option we have if you want to believe in the Attorney General opinion. So that's why I voted for it, because I felt it gives them the opportunity to get started and get the ball moving in the right direction with their development of their website, which then ultimately, you know, a year from now, whenever it is, they might be in a position to prove that they have the wherewithal to do the tourism promotion.
Can I ask a quick question? Would it be out of bounds to, it sounds to me like we're being asked to approve $10,000 for a shifted request that didn't have a corresponding application, the application. And I guess my question would be, and by the way, I'm not necessarily opposed to this, but would the right thing to do to be to revise the application, have the committee approve it, and then present it to council? I mean, it might cost the cycle or a couple of days.
I mean, that's what's happening tonight. We've got a
I think the revised application might be in the packet.
It's in your packet. Okay.
It's in the packet.
Yes, it is.
And we've got a recommendation from the ATAX committee to make this, make it to council. Thank you, Ray.
Well, thank you, Ray.
Other questions, comments?
I have a question. Is this 30% money or 65% money?
65.
And why couldn't it be 30%?
Right now, the 30%, the entirety of the 30% is going to the CVB. Because the Chamber of Commerce would be an eligible organization to receive a portion of the 30%, I would say that would be available to the city if we wanted to go that route.
We can use 65% money for the benefit of other things for the city. Why take $10,000 out of that? Let's take $10,000 out of the 30% and give it to them for this.
Well, and their grant application was associated with the $50,000 that the city budgets every year for programs and sponsorships. So their application was specific to that program. But I would say, reading the law and the fact that they would be eligible, funds from the 30% should be available for that.
Can we vote on the 10,000 to come out of the 30% tonight?
That is not on the agenda.
That's not what's being recommended from the ATAX committee.
I would like to see that happen.
But if it was on the agenda, that would be an option. Or it wouldn't, because we've already promised or guaranteed the 100% going to CVB.
So currently, the city has only selected one organization to receive the 30% for tourism advertisement and promotion. If the city changes that and then picks another organization, which would be available to the city to do, as long as they're eligible, the city could then assign a portion of those funds to the chamber, and that would be from the 30%.
But we can still do that now, or not tonight, but we can still do that this year. We haven't locked ourselves into that 100% going to CVB, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, for our new fiscal year, remember we wrote something like 30% currently is the CVB unless the city changes direction at some point in the year for the fiscal year starting Friday.
Okay.
So 30%, Mr. Mayor, doesn't that go to a DMO?
It does.
And is the Chamber of Commerce a designated DMO?
No. Not from the city.
So they are not eligible for the 30% this year, correct?
State law states that a Chamber of Commerce could be considered an eligible.
But they're not now.
They're not, because the city hasn't selected them to be as such.
Okay.
But they are a nonprofit that would have to show the city that they either have or have the ability to generate a tourism promotion program. Once that happens, then it'll be up to council to determine whether or not the chamber is an entity that is able to receive some of those funds from the 30%.
Okay.
That hasn't happened.
So if we want to give them $10,000 this year, it cannot be part of the 30% DMO money. It has to be part of the 65%.
Correct. Until they are selected and identified as a DMO for the city, then we're, you're looking at the funds from the chunk of money from the 65% currently.
Rusty?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, it's clear that the Chamber of Commerce aspires to someday be an eligible DMO. I mean, they say that routinely, time and time and time again. But to the point that's already been made here, they're nowhere near that level yet. They call themselves newly formed, even now. So there's still a lot of work to be done to set up a social media presence, to get more membership, to sort of prove themselves. And one reason I think our task force came forward with a recommendation to City Council to support the Chamber of Commerce, I think a lot of us won't see a very viable Chamber of Commerce on this island working together, not only between the businesses, but with the residents of the island, and build a better relationship all the way around. So I think someday, based on their goals and aspirations, they may be very eligible for part of the 30% that we give to an eligible DMO.
But not now. Is that what you're...
Yes. That's exactly right.
Not with this request right now, and until they are more established.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Katie, is that a two-year and John?
Yes.
Other questions, comments?
And just for a clarification, your packet does include a revised application from what was submitted earlier this year to the ATACS committee, and the funds are being requested to support the development of a social media account that would be geared towards attracting tourists to the island, which would be considered an eligible expense according to state law section 6410.
Okay, we got a motion and a second.
Actually, you don't have a motion, so I don't think.
No, you do not.
No, Mr. Pierce so jumped right into our talk.
So, carry motion on this topic.
All right.
Thank you, Ms. Martin.
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Second. Further discussion?
Sorry.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Thank you. Next item is consideration of proposed fiscal 23 budget from CBB for the city's 30% state ATAX funds for tourism promotion and advertisement. Is there any motion?
Motion to approve.
Second. In your packet, you have the updated, if you will, CBB budget, and you can see it's allocated across IOP share of their expenses in various categories. And if you've had any time to look at it, Debbie and Desiree and myself have worked with CFO and others from CBB to get their financial reporting to a better spot, and this certainly has trended in the right direction in my opinion. So you can see how they're planning to spend the roughly $900,000 that are for us for this upcoming fiscal year, again, that starts on July 1st. So roughly $250,000 for marketing and advertising, $260,000 for ad placements, another $50,000 for trade shows, so on and so forth, when you get to the about $970,000 total. So questions or comments or?
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Rusty.
I'd like to say up front here that I am going to recuse myself from this particular vote. I know I didn't do the proper paperwork earlier today, and I can do that afterwards if I have to, but to give you a little reason as to why I'm doing that, it's not because I have any financial interest in the CBB, but I was appointed unanimously by the mayor and the council to be on their board of governors for this year, which I am. And so I will recuse myself from the actual vote on this particular situation here.
Thank you. Yeah, John, sorry. Jimmy. Jimmy, go ahead. You first.
No, go ahead, John.
I just have a question on process because we have a functioning ATAX committee at this point, and did they review this? I mean, I'm at a disadvantage here because I don't have the benefit of having CVB here presenting this for us to ask questions. I appreciate your review of it, but we don't have a chance to be able to ask questions. And I think the ATAX committee, what I think they should do is be not only reviewing this, but voting. I don't have any idea whether they're in favor of this budget, they're not in favor of this budget, do they have concerns on it? And I would look to them to vet the budget, approve it, and say, council, we approve this budget, and we would like you to approve it. But I don't have any of that. I have no idea what it's a bunch of numbers on a page to me.
So your question's about concept. Your question's about process.
Yeah, and have they approved it and recommended it to council to be approved? Yeah.
So the ATAX committee does not approve it. They review it. For 3 hours, they did that this past week with CBB, CFO, and others in the room.
May I ask what the purpose of a review is without some kind of recommendation after the review? I mean, they could review it and say, they could all think it stinks, but they reviewed it, but I have no idea whether that's the case or not. So how do I vote on this is what my answer.
So this is a change from the TARP ruling that we received later last year, where the ATAX committee is asked to review the budgets generated by municipalities, DMO. We had a little bit of back and forth with the management of TARP, or sort of the admin folks there, because we were receiving different guidance, whether or not, you know, what the role of the ATAX committee was associated with this budget. And they indicated that it is up to city council to vote to approve or reject the proposed budget. The ATAX committee only, I couldn't see you. The ATAX committee, you know, reviews, provides feedback. We advise the ATAX committee that, you know, basically what I'm telling you now, that they're not required to vote on it. That's not what the statutory requirements are. For the roles and responsibility, they could have a vote, a ceremonial or procedural vote, but ultimately the final decision rests on council. So they took no action on this particular budget. Last year, the former ATAX committee felt very strongly about sending a message about their views of that budget that ultimately came to council, and they did vote at that time. But they did not. They're not required to issue a vote on this particular budget, other than review it. You all could certainly task the ATAX committee, regardless of what the law requires them to do or the guidance from TARP requires them to do. You can say, ATAX committee, we want you all to vote on it.
Yeah. Or down to your question, we could have delay this to next month and have CBB.
Or have the CBB come into to present to you all.
Jimmy. I'd like to postpone this vote till next month and ask if the Accommodations Tax Advisory Committee is meeting in July. Are they meeting?
They are not meeting. They don't have a meeting scheduled in July. They have one for mid-August.
I agree with John. I'd like to see their recommendation, how they feel about it. I value their opinion. And I would like to have a representative from CBB come in and explain more detail for us, and that will, in that respect, I'd like to postpone this vote.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Can I add one comment? I think we just went through the recruiting process, Jan, John, and I, interview process. There are some skill sets now on that committee that I think could do a very good job of vetting that budget and ask some of the right questions and give us some insight as to what all this is.
And they spent a long time with Lori Smith, who's the CFO, and Chris, who's the Director of Communications and Marketing, and there was a very, very good conversation back and forth between the members and the CBB. So we can take this back to ATAX, ask them to make issue a recommendation, and then ask the CBB to come present to you all maybe at the next.
Yep.
Well, I made a motion to postpone it. I don't know if we have a
second.
Yeah. Can we ask them to meet? Do we need them to meet before August?
We can certainly encourage them.
Before August, because yes. I thought you said the next meeting was in August.
That's what's currently scheduled. So if we give them a task.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They can call a meeting.
Okay.
Kevin.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I agree with the delay or suspended, but do I need to remove my motion to approve?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, we postpone, and that passes, and
yeah,
then go any further.
Yeah, you don't have to move.
Just vote on the postponement.
Yeah.
Other questions, comments? So our vote is on the postponement to the next month, asking the ATAX committee to call a meeting before our next council meeting and have a member of CBB here at our next meeting for Q&A. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all. There's one item from the Ways and Means minutes that should have been on the consent agenda that was just inadvertently left off, so we'll need to vote on it tonight. So I'd like to make a motion to add an item to the agenda from the Ways and Means minutes that should have been in the consent agenda. That's in the form of a motion.
And the item is,
yeah,
you all approved last week the purchase of two pay stations, two kiosks for Front Beach.
Yeah.
These are budgeted.
For fiscal
23, we would go ahead and order them as soon as we start the new fiscal year. The budgeted amount in FY 23 budget is $36,000. Our quote is for $24,000.
I second that.
Question. So all we're voting on is adding it to the agenda at this point. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So now, take out the item, consideration of replacement of two pay stations at Front Beach. Again, it's a fiscal 23 item, so make that in the form of a motion.
Second.
Questions? We've already discussed and voted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. All right. Next up, public safety. Mr. Ward.
Not me.
No, I'm so sorry. I'll probably work in my
head. I'm the garbage man.
Jan.
This is Public Safety Committee met on June 2nd. All committee members were present. Fire Chief Olivarius reported that there were 111 calls for service today, including a water rescue of a dog and its owner. He is working with Mount Pleasant on traffic preemption to give priority to emergency vehicles to reduce response times to and on the island. The fire department right now is fully staffed. Police Chief Cornett reported that he sponsored two community meetings in May and has two more scheduled for June. There were 1,251 calls for service, which is fewer than last year. 357 traffic stops, four gun charges, and 18 DUIs were among those. We now have a text-to-park app for the two municipal lots, which seems to be well-received. So that's getting us into the 21st century. I'd like to talk about two incidents that we had in May that I think are remarkable for the response. There was a noise complaint on May 28th resulted in the discovery of a large illegal party on Palm Boulevard. It was disbanded with the assistance of the rental agent who terminated the lease and evicted tenants, thanks to our new ordinance, which allows that to happen. So that's one way that we've learned to take care of these incidents. The second one was we avoided a potentially volatile situation on Memorial Day because of mutual aid among police departments. North Charleston informed the Isle of Palms Police Department that a possible confrontation was planned by groups heading our way. Chief Cornett called in mutual aid from Solomon's Island, Mount Pleasant, and the county, and a dangerous situation was avoided. There were several guns confiscated from that, but it appears that this is the group they started in North Charleston, migrated here, and ended up in downtown Charleston, where there was that fight. So congratulations to our chief for taking care of things well before they got out of control. The police department has two vacancies in the permanent force and two BSO positions. The department is using its drone to videotape traffic conditions on the island to show South Carolina DOT so they have a better understanding of our traffic dilemma here. Seeing is believing. With respect to South Carolina DOT, the connector study has completed its data collection and is developing alternative lane configurations over the next few months. Eight alternatives will be presented to the city, and the committee will select three for community review. Hopefully we can have a final plan by the fall. In addition to that, there's a phase two study that is in preliminary stages right now to retime all signals on the connector corridor. It's an early development, and with some foresight, we have already started collecting traffic count data for that study so that we won't, so that we can get them in the summer months, peak summer months, which of course are our work busiest time, and have that study completed within the next year as well. That should show an improved traffic flow conditions all along the corridor. You may have noticed that County Parks installed a message sign on the connector indicating when the county park is full. Their first step in improving conditions at their park. We're working with them, but they're slow. They hope to have a parking app operation by the fall, which could reduce delays to entering that site as well. Just for everyone to know, the county is also resurfacing, or maybe has completed by now, 40th, 41st, 42nd, Frank Sotilli, Live Oak, Sand Dollar, and Wildwood Roads, and should be finished, weather permitting. This is part of the money that goes to the county from us, so it's really just our own money being used to take care of our streets. Our noise ordinance update is put on hold until the new Mount Pleasant ordinance has been, so we see how that, how effective that ordinance is, because we may use that as a model for us. We're also working on automatic aid agreement with Mount Pleasant, which means that whenever we receive a call for service, they will automatically respond if they are closest to the to that location. We have what is called mutual aid now at this point, which we ask, when we ask for service from those groups, those entities, they will come. But this will mean that they will automatically respond if they are closest to our need. The request for capital purchase was covered under Ways and Means, and I'm not going to go through that again. That's it. Oh, our next meeting.
Workshop.
You don't have a meeting.
Yeah, no more meetings, that's right. We now are in workshop conditions. So.
Questions for Jan? Thank you, Jan.
Okay.
Public Works, Mr. Ward.
Yes, sir. Public Works, thank you, sir. Public Works Committee met at 3:30 p.m. Wednesday, June 8th. And Director Pitts said that the garbage collection was down a little from May. The Public Works Department remains caught up on cleaning yard debris. While there was uptick on vehicle maintenance in May, Director Pitts said that they will end the year significantly under budget on that line item. The Assistant Director reported that the valves for SCDOT Project 25th Avenue have arrived and waiting to be installed. He also said the Project 30th Avenue is going very well. Public Works staff has regraded and installed 200 feet of Moby Mat at 9th Avenue and another 50 feet at 42nd Avenue. And that's about that, about all that. And then we're going to talk about the compactor and the dumpster, the city compactor. J.C. has continued to have weekly washings, and the concrete pad has been professionally power washed. The restroom attendant is monitoring the compactor weekly and three times a day on the weekend. Old business, we had updated on phase three drainage, which has already been covered. Happy to report the improvement to the golf cart path on Ocean Boulevard Plaza has been complete. Thanks to the city administrator for helping push that along. It's something I've been wanting.
The Jimmy Ward corridor.
The Jimmy Ward corridor. Yeah, but, the director reported that the contract for intersect improvement at Ocean Boulevard and J.C. Long has been executed, but the work will be delayed until the end of August. We had a discussion of recommendations from the Environmental Advisory Committee on beach holes and shovel prohibition. It was a long discussion. Committee members had no issue filling up the holes. Need to be done before sunset. After a brief discussion, we decided the issue should return to the Environmental Advisory Committee for further work. There being no further business, the meeting was adjourned at 3:50 p.m., and this is the last Public Works Committee meeting. Forever, probably.
At least 6 months.
At least 6 months.
Questions for
you? But it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Recreation, Kevin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Rec Committee met on 12:30 on Monday, June 6th. The meeting was called to order, and all staff, all council members and staff were present. The minutes were approved from previous meeting, and there was no citizens' comments. We then went on to Director Page's monthly department report. Just a few highlights. The farmer's market started on June 16th and will be running through October. Sand sculpting contest was on June 11th, went really, really well. Beach Run is next month, and the Half Rubber Tournament is August, and the 30th annual Isle of Palms Connector Run is in October. She also brought up that the meditation is now on Mondays at the Rec Center and at the Public Dock, and it's my understanding that both are going well and well attended. Little shout out, she commended Josh for keeping the Rec Center cleaned and sanitized, and Cody Buchanan for his work on the grounds. The RFPs went out for basketball, pickleball courts, but you touched on that in Ways and Means, so I'll repeat anything more. Under old business, we had none. Under new business, we had none. And since it was our last meeting at the Rec Committee, Desiree mentioned that from now on, the Rec Committee updates will be given at the workshops. And so ends my report.
Thank you. Questions for...
I just want to add, since the meeting, as you all know, we're, and Council Member Popson reported, we're being offering free meditation classes at the Public Dock on Mondays. The instructor is having some changes to her work schedule that will not allow her to continue that. So we're in the process of trying to identify another provider. Her last class will be next week. So we'll be making notifications online and social media once the new instructor is confirmed.
Okay. We'll notice a rise of stress levels, I'm guessing.
Yes, we're going to be so stressed.
John, personnel.
The personnel committee met on Wednesday, June 1st at 9 a.m. All members were present. Under old business, the committee discussed two open positions on the ATAX committee, one for someone from the lodging industry and one from someone from the hospitality industry. The committee is recommending that the lodging vacancy be filled by Rebecca Kovalich. A copy of her application is included in our packet. The committee also discussed having a referendum in the November 2022 election to ask citizens if they want to reduce council from 9 to 7 members. The committee voted to move forward with an ordinance that will be considered later in the meeting tonight. Under new business, the committee discussed potential changes to the annual leave policy. The main concern is vacation policy and accruals for new hires compared to the market. Administrator Fregoso will discuss this further with department heads and come to the July workshop with a proposal. Under miscellaneous business, the committee decided to hold a special personnel committee meeting later in June, of which we did on June 21st to interview an open hospitality ATAX position. The committee interviewed Gloria Clark and is recommending that she fill the open ATAX hospitality position. A copy of her application is also included in the packet. So I'd like to make a motion that the open vacancies on ATAX committee be filled with Rebecca Kovalich and Gloria Clark.
Second.
Any comments?
Yes, just for the record, Ms. Rebecca Kovalich is... taking the seat or the vacancy that was created by Ms. Nemeth's resignation. Her term expires 12/31/2023. Ms. Clark is replacing one of the seats of folks that resigned earlier this year, and their terms expire in 12/31/2022. So at the end, even though you're appointing these folks to the end of this year, at the end of the year you'll have to reconsider those appointments again. But just because we've been having so much movement, I just wanted to clarify that who's getting what seat.
Questions for John? Comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
That concludes the report.
Rusty, Real Property.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Real Property Committee met at 1:30 p.m. Monday, June the 6th. We had all of our council committee members present, along with Director Carr, who was with us that day as well. We had no citizens' comments at that particular meeting, and we also had no marine attendant comments at that meeting either. Under old business, we had updates. First update was on the update on the proposed public dock and green space at the Isle of Palms Marina. Director Carr said they're waiting on pricing from ATM for the design work on the public dock. Staff is working with Davis and Floyd on the details of the layout of the green space. We reviewed some issues of landscaping configuration affecting the available parking spaces. They going to discuss the plans even further, I think, that particular Friday after our meeting. I'm not sure if there's any more update or if it's just still ongoing.
They have revised that plan.
Okay. So Douglas believes the project is on track to begin after the season and completed by the end of 2022. So hopefully that's still...
Well, once you finish your report, I do have some
additions. So Council Member Popson said he would like to see as much landscaping there as possible since the area is stark. Under item B, we have the update on ADA beach access improvements. Director Carr said the RFP for the 34A beach access path is ready to be released. They anticipate having pricing available by the July 12th council workshop. Construction would begin after the season. Director Carr also reported that the Assistant Director of Acero Public Works continues to work on keeping the extended Moby mats at 42nd and 9th Avenue straight and clean. Councilman Ward had mentioned that earlier in Public Works. Public Works and the landscape contractors are monitoring the mat and the tide levels to determine if the mats can be extended to other beach accesses as well. Under new business, we had discussion of structural assessment report of the timber bulkhead at the Isle of Palms Marina along the intercoastal waterway, and that was performed by Davis and Floyd. And it was reported that the bulkhead, for its age of approximately 30 years, looks generally okay, but no concern really about it falling down or not being useful in the near future. But they believe that it's also got some concerns. And they've been tasked with seeing whether or not we can put in a new wider decking over the top of it. They basically said there would be one solution for both problems. So they're going to look at give us a proposal to develop a plan that would be a solution for both problems, develop a plan that the community dock, a substructure for us to be able to attach this wider decking to connect our community dock to the green space to the back of the restaurant. So we're, you know, digging into that. They should have a proposal back to us, and we may have an update on that. So we will see what Desiree has a report coming out of this. As I mentioned earlier, the bulkhead is estimated to be about 30 years old and had no prior repairs. And it has aged a little better because it doesn't get hit directly by high tides as many other bulkheads do. So if there's any public inquiries about the bulkhead report, they're being responded to, some by staff and some by Davis and Floyd as needed. We have no miscellaneous business. Of course, we'll move to workshop next month for the remainder of the year. And we made a motion to adjourn. Therein ends my report.
Since the meeting that Councilmember Streetman just reported on, we have received a proposal from Davis and Floyd for the development of design specifications and drawings for the necessary improvements to the bulkhead. That proposal came in yesterday or this morning. Days are blurry now, but and that was for $35,000. So we're looking at alternatives, trying to identify what's driving that number, looking at other vendors to get a similar proposal. But that'll be something that will come up potentially in July before you all.
Question is for Rusty. Doesn't really fit in this part of the agenda, but I'm going to fit it. Noticing the flags and the bunting, just a real huge thank you to staff for Palm Boulevard. Looks fantastic, and it looks really nice. So thank you all for spending the time to do that. Amy for probably kicking off that whole thing. It's like all we have to do is breathe it and think it sometimes, man, and it shows up the next day. So,
pretty much.
Thank you all for that. It looks really nice. Item 5, reports from city officers, boards, and commissions. Board of Zoning Appeals, minutes are attached. Planning Commission, minutes are attached. And we've got an update on recommendations for regulating short-term rentals. Douglas, you want to give us an update?
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to just hit the high points of the Planning Commission's recommendation to you all for the benefit of the community that may not have been able to attend the workshop or watch the workshop. But in summary, what the Planning Commission is recommending to you all is that you establish a cap on the number of short-term rentals licensed in three different zones on what I would kind of call the backside of the island. They're recommending that that cap number be set at 10% higher than the 2020 numbers. 2020 is the last complete year of licensing data. You all will recall that 2021 had two kind of truncated years within it. So 2020 was the last good year of data. The main thing that those three zones would achieve in the mind of the planning commissioners is it would stop the migration that they believe that's happening away from areas that have had traditionally high numbers and into those back areas that have had typically lower numbers of short-term rentals. So that's kind of at a high level what that recommendation is aimed at achieving. There are other kind of nuances there that they're recommending on occupancy, how many people can go in a rental. They're recommending that newly constructed or licensed rentals in the capped areas be limited to 8 occupants. They're also recommending in the uncapped areas for existing rentals that are above 12, which is the cap number for the occupancy number for new construction, but there are some that are above 12 currently. If those ever went out of the rental program for a year or more, their recommendation is that when they come back in, that their occupancy would be limited to 12 people. So that's really what the recommendations would have you change. I've been asked to kind of detail a little bit more what would stay the same. I mean, I've kind of dwelled on the changes, but in terms of staying the same, there still would be large portions of the island that would be uncapped. Those areas that have had traditionally high numbers of rentals concentration, specifically those are rentals fronting on Ocean Boulevard, on Palm Boulevard, and on the southeast side of Palm between 42nd and 57th, and then all of the condominium complexes and multifamily complexes would all be exempt from these requirements. That uncapped pool equates to about 75% of the existing rentals on the island. So to kind of put that in perspective, their recommendation is talking about an area that currently houses only 25% of all of the rentals on the island. So it's a smaller pool that these rules would affect. The other thing that wouldn't change is properties that already have a license. Those properties would be allowed to renew. So if you have a license now, these changes come to pass, you would be protected and allowed to renew as long as you keep your license in good standing. There's a fear about people who currently have a license thinking that they're going to be put into kind of a lottery or a waiting list, but that's not the intent. The intent is if you're actively licensed, you would be continue to rent. And then the last thing that it wouldn't affect would be the ability to sell that property with the rental license. That's been a little bit of a topic of discussion as to how to treat these properties when they sell. Planning Commission's recommendation is for those licenses to transfer when the property sells. So the new owner would have to get a second license, but they would be entitled to do that under the Planning Commission's recommendation. So that's really a quick overview. I know that the workshop presentation is on the city's website, so if any of the details I missed, would urge folks to visit the site and let us know.
Questions? Yes, Jan.
Also, long-term rentals will not be affected either.
That's correct. These are all specific to short-term rentals.
Short-term rentals of single-family homes. Is that correct?
Well, the requirement includes condominiums, multifamily homes. They are also required to have licenses, but the capped areas would only be single-family There are areas exclusively with single-family residences in them.
Thank you.
And Douglas, we had talked about at the workshop on July 12th, I guess we have the College Charleston professor that's kind of a short-term rental coming.
And we've, Desiree and I have spoken with him. He's scheduled to meet with us and talk through what they're seeing kind of at a national level with the trends on short-term rentals.
If any of you have any questions or would like a certain policy issue to be discussed, please let me know. We're having those conversations with Brumby. We talked with him today and asked him to, you know, touch on, you know, the question about property values, about livability type policy. So anything that you may think that would be helpful for you, please let us know so that we can prepare in advance and have him address it based on his experience and the research he's conducted across the nation.
Thank you.
Accommodations Tax Advisory Committee, minutes are attached. Environmental Advisory Committee, minutes are attached. Reports from special or joint committees, none. Petitions received, referred, or disposed of, none. Item 8, bills already in possession of council, ordinance 2022-03, this is the second reading, an ordinance to extend the temporary suspension and enforcement of the plastic ban for businesses impacted by supply chain issues. We've had multiple conversations on this topic, so this is our second reading.
One change from first reading, based on the feedback provided by council, there's a sentence that was added establishing that no business establishment will be able to provide single-use plastic bags that
at
was
the point of sale.
At the point of sale. That is included in that section 346A, so we're just making the distinction that those would still be prohibited at point of sale.
Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Additional comments or questions?
And this would expire September 1st, 2022.
Really, by the time we enact it, 3 months.
2 months.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
You want to?
Councilmember Ward and Councilmember Myers, is that correct?
And Councilmember Pierce.
Sorry, Nicole, we ran through quickly.
Thank you.
Item 9, introduction of new bills, resolutions, and proclamations. Just for clarity, I'd like to suspend the rules of order and allow for discussion. A lot of times when we have first readings, it's just by title only, but just for clarity, would allow for some discussion tonight.
Second.
Questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. So real quick, for the first two go together, obviously, ordinance 2022-04 and 2022-05. 04 is an ordinance authorizing the amendment and assignment of Marina Joint Ventures, Inc. to Morgan Creek Marina, LLC. And 2022-05, an ordinance authorizing the amendment and assignment of Marina Outpost, LLC, Inc. to Morgan Creek Marina, LLC.
Are we looking for a motion?
Yes.
I make a motion to authorize the amendment and assignment of Marina Joint Venture, Inc. to Morgan Creek Marina, LLC.
You're approved. So we're looking at both together.
Both of them together. 2022-05.
Talking about just me there.
Second.
Thank you. Just real quick, I wanted to go through just a level set for those that haven't been following the play-by-play to some extent, just for residents that may be listening or watching or in the audience here tonight. So there's been a lot of conversations and discussions about what's happening with the existing marina operators' request to assign the leases to Morgan Creek Marina, LLC. Thought it might be helpful to provide some information to help explain the latest. Just by way of background and information, there have been two discussions and or presentations by the new potential marina operator to Major City Council outlining his plans for our marina. You can watch those at IOP.net in recent City Council meetings. And again, for residents' benefits that haven't necessarily been following this so closely, you'll recall at our City Council meeting on April 26th, we announced we had received a letter requesting approval of assignment of the existing leases held by Marina Joint Ventures, Inc. and Marina Outpost LLC with the City of Isle of Palms to Morgan Creek Marina LLC. Same ownership group that owns Bohicket Marina and Seabreeze Marina, among others, whose parent company is Coastal Marina Holdings. In accordance with the leases, any assignment requires the city's prior consent. Since that initial council meeting in April, potential new marine operators have been meeting with council members directly, restaurant owners, other residents, and other parties, getting as much input as possible as to a go-forward solution. We've received due diligence information, ownership structure, financial information, and a letter of intent from the proposed operator for our review. We held a special council meetings on May 6th and June 2nd for the new potential marina operator to discuss his vision for our marina and discuss at our regular council meeting on May 24th. You know, from my view, the good news around this amendment and change is the new potential tenant has agreed to, as part of the lease assignment, release current and existing lease control over the shared parking, which is the middle lot on the waterway side of the boat ramp. This would be a tremendous benefit for residents because the city would control that lot, make it available for free to residents, and better enforce the current regulations. The new tenant has also asked that the existing lease language on alcohol consumption be clarified and allow for on-premise alcohol consumption to be allowed. Leases written state that the marina can sell beer and wine. Current lease does not expressly allow the consumption as required by city code and is silent as to whether the sale of beer and wine are package only or whether the marina can sell single servings. Current tenant does not have an on-premise consumption license from the state. As a practical matter, incidental on-site consumption has always happened on the back deck, and the new tenant simply wants to continue on-site consumption and be in compliance with the law. Any material changes to the kitchen, building, service area, or deck would require approval of council. So just real quick, just from a what's in the current lease versus what's in the proposed lease. Current lease requires the tenant to provide IOP resident launch rates at $5. Proposed amendment would change that to free launching for residents. Current lease requires the tenant to provide dry boat storage. Proposed amendment would maintain this requirement, but additionally require that no less than 12 dry boat storage spaces be reserved for IOP residents. The upland area where the 16 exclusive resident parking spaces are currently located is under the city's exclusive control and not encumbered by any lease. As part of the assignment, the potential new operator is offered to release control over the shared parking lot to give control to the city to manage and enforce. This area would be available to the city to offer free vehicular and trailer parking for residents in addition to the current existing 16 spaces. The proposed amendment also establishes that the tenant shall use commercially reasonable efforts to provide IOP residents with priority opportunity to rent publicly available boat slips at standard rates to be determined by the tenant in its sole discretion. An absolute discretion on an as-available basis must provide valid evidence of IOP residency. The IOP public dock and upland area where the 16 resident-only parking spaces are located are not included in any marina leased premises, and the proposed amendment would not change that. The amenities would remain under the city control. Current lease has an assignment subleasing clause that allows a transfer of the lease with city consent. These sections are maintained but enhanced in the proposed amendments, which establishes that any transfer of 50% or more of the partnership requires city approval. Proposed amendment would expressly authorize the operation of a boat club, currently at no more than 50%. New marina potential operators okayed or has had conversations about taking that down to 35%, and other commercial operations that if exceed thresholds would require council approval. These thresholds safeguard the marina to ensure a mixed use aspect to the marina. So we have a few amendments, or we have an amendment back from the potential operators. We have a red line that we'll discuss in executive session, but I just wanted to lay some of that groundwork before we got to any other discussion. So, okay. Other discussion. John.
Yeah. Since being asked to assign the leaser, I feel that we've gone backwards regarding what's in the best interest for the citizens of the island. I agree that we're getting some shared parking, and that's great. There's a lot of confusion, but what we don't know about this, the marina going forward, I think is too risky at this point to concede the parking. As with almost any lease or lease assignment, a threshold amount of due diligence is normally required. At a minimum, the landlord or the signing party would want to know who they were entering into an agreement with, both the entity and the beneficial ownership, as well as the financial stability of the entity. We have received neither to date. In fact, we asked for 9 due diligence items from Morgan Creek Marine and Mr. Shuler. We have yet to receive 5 of the 9 items. This is not the kind of transparency that we should start a new 23-year relationship with, because we have to remember there's 23 years left on this lease. There have been too many bad decisions regarding the leases, and we should not perpetuate that under our watch. When we started the path towards assignment, both parties, Mr. Shuler and the city, thought it would be a good idea to amend a few items concurrent with the assignment. This has led to an amendment that would potentially change the character of our marina, and I highlight our marina. It leaves open to have a marina that is 50% occupied by a boat club. This could be 50 to 60 boats operating as a membership club. Is being presented as a method to get residents access to the water through the boat club. I don't buy that argument. I also don't agree with the argument that the club will reduce the need for parking at the marina. I feel just the opposite. 50 to 60 boats at the marina. That's 50% of the dockage that we have. We don't even understand the revenue to the city that the boat club that this boat club will generate for the city, and in all likelihood will become the predominant tenant, the tenant of which will be related party to the leasee. We also now have added consumption of alcohol to the marina store. While it seems like a relatively minor change that is only documenting what is already happening at the marina store, I disagree. By allowing consumption, we are opening up for the advertisement of drinking on the deck, and that growing into something that we will all be unhappy with. Remember, this is a 23-year lease, and a lot can change in that period of time. For those and other items, I'm not in agreement with the signing the marina leases. I would be in favor of signing the current lease to Morgan Creek Marina, as long as we get the outstanding diligence items, most notably the beneficial ownership of Coastal Marina LLC, as well as their audited financial statements. I believe this is in the best interest for the city, can allow for more thoughtful amendments of the leases down the road after we establish a working relationship.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to pretty much concur with everything that Councilman Bogosian has said, and I'd like to also reiterate the fact that when we first started these conversations, Mr. Shuler, we had great conversations with him, and we were really excited about this new change. And he said that the parking thing was going to be made as a measure of good faith, not intended to be any sort of quid pro quo or anything like that. And it wasn't until May 1st, I believe. No, sorry, that was on May 1st. It wasn't until May 20th that the issue of the alcohol consumption kind of became somewhat of a quid pro quo and became a contentious issue, to say the least. I was personally criticized for referring to it as a bar. I'd like to clarify that I said that because it was explained to us that it would be run very similar to the model, would be Seabreeze Marina. And if anybody's ever been to Seabreeze Marina or looked on Facebook or anything else, it's actually called the Island Cabana Bar. That word is in there. So that's what we were told, so that's where I got that idea. And so I just feel like these negotiations, it started off as something that was like, this was going to be a win-win, everybody was excited about it, and now we've gone in this direction of, well, if you don't give us what we want, then we're going to sue you. And I can't abide by that. And I would also like to concur that if we are still waiting on numerous due diligence items. Our attorneys came up with reasonable requests that were ordinary and reasonable in the course of business. And many of the, there's a list of 9 things, and 3 of them have been provided fully. Five of them have been partially provided, and we've been told that they're not going to provide the rest. And one of them has just not been answered. Mr. Sorry, I'm not going to get your name right. Spoke earlier today. He gave us some details about the business plan that we've asked for and haven't gotten yet. So I would like, if we were to receive those due diligence reasonable requests that we've made, then I would think we should absolutely go forward with the assignment of the original lease as, not the original lease, I'm sorry, the lease that is in effect today, and assign that for both the marina and the store. So that's...
Sorry.
That's, yeah, that's it.
Right. Rusty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's not a thing that Mr. Twyford said that, speaking tonight, that we haven't all heard and heard repeatedly. I haven't received any mixed messages from Mike Schuer myself. We started off on this process looking at that being a simple lease assignment. And also, we were told then that the parking really didn't matter. The parking could go back under city control. That was a winner for me from the get-go, to tell you the truth. You know, that we could get another 35 or 40 spots, however it ends up being, however many it ends up being, in addition to the 16 we already have and the 14 golf cart space. That's what our residents have been calling for years. More access to the parking at the marina. People have always parked down in that shared parking space. Some of us, like myself, have never paid there, but there have been others back before the kiosk was put in, or the app, I should say, that did pay and didn't know any better because they were being approached by somebody that was on premises in a truck and say it's going to cost you $10 to park here. Anyway, going back to the original premise here, when we met to talk about that, we were all excited. We had meetings with Mike Schuler. We had a lot of conversation. The parking, you know, giving over the parking was really a real positive, as I mentioned earlier. And we suddenly veered from a simple assignment of a lease to start saying, hey, this is a great opportunity to redo this lease for the next 23 years. I don't think that's fair, you know? So we went down the amendment path, and I look at it, I don't see anything egregious in what's here. I don't for a minute think that there's going to be 50% of our boat space that's tied up by a boat club. I think we're talking about 5 or 6 boats at the most. And honestly, I do want to see the other financials that are going to be pending and the answer to some of the other questions, but this still doesn't hold me back from saying I think this is the right thing to do in first reading. Thank you.
Jan, sorry, and then Blair.
I have a couple of concerns that I'd like to express, but also agree with Councilman Bogosian in your comments too. My concern is that we have just negotiated a contract with the restaurant at the marina that I think we need to honor and make sure that this contract that we're considering doesn't interfere with that one, in particular with the serving of beer and wine and allowing a liquor license at the marina store. There may be a concern that was something that the restaurant was told would not happen.
Yeah, let's be clear. It's not a liquor license.
Okay.
It's not a liquor license.
Okay. So, but anyway, to make sure that we are not in conflict with the contract we have with the restaurant. The second thing is with this boat club that could take up part of the marina, there is a fee to join that of $500 a month, $6,000 a year. So it's not going to make it accessible to all of our island residents because you're going to have to pay a lot for the boat club. What we are gaining on this, though, is free access to the ramp and the ability to purchase some dry storage with priority to Isle of Palm residents. And the shared parking would be turned over to the Isle of Palms, and we could offer free parking there for our residents. So what we need to decide is whether this is a benefit or not for us, I think, with those things. I'm not sure that we are ready to have a first reading with my concerns and those of other council people.
Blair.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support first reading and mirror what Councilman Friedman has said. Parking, I think, is a huge issue for all residents that I talk to, and this alleviates a lot of those concerns. The other large issue seems to be the beer and wine license. The lease, to be very clear, currently says that they are allowed to sell beer and wine at the marina. It is silent as to whether or not you can do so packaged or do so for consumption. The pattern in practice for 30 years has been people have consumed beer and wine at that marina. If they're doing so illegally, they're doing so with the knowledge of the city. That creates a huge liability for the city. If we are to transfer this lease as is and continue down this road, we are perpetuating liability for the city under dram shop laws and all other types of negligence. By clarifying this and requiring the proper licensure, it relieves the city of liability. And now all the liability is Mr. Schuler's or his company's. So I think it's a win on both aspects, because the beer and wine consumption is not going anywhere. That's going to continue to happen. And we get parking, we relieve ourselves of liability. As to the due diligence, I know that we have, Mr. Mayor's understanding, some due diligence pending. I think we should move forward and vote for this and allow the process to take place. Once this is voted for, we can get open communication with the residents on what has been voted on. We can look at the due diligence. I understand Mr. Schuler has agreed to come and do a town hall meeting with anybody that is interested to further discuss what his plans are. And then we have a second reading and we move forward. Thank you.
And just, sorry, real quick, Kevin. To Boyer's comment, a couple of pieces. So one piece that's pending is an audited financial report that was hopeful was going to hit our inbox tonight, but it didn't at this point. Hopefully it's going to be tomorrow, next day, that we'll have audited financials that'll show significant equity and a favorable opinion from Dixon Hughes CPA firm. Blair's other comment about a town hall meeting, we've got tentatively, depending on where we go tonight, July 11th at 5 o'clock set aside for Mr. Schuler to come and again put forth his business model and business plan for the residents and allow time for questions, either submitted ahead of time or after or live there. So that'll be maybe an hour and a half, 2 hour kind of meeting on the 11th, again, depending on where we wind up tonight after executive session. So, Blair, thank you for bringing that up. Kevin.
I was just going to, if we go back to trying to assign the original lease, to piggyback what Blair said, we lose the shared parking, which has been very contentious down there between the current manager and the restaurant. We get calls every weekend. That would stay the same if we go back to the original assignment of the lease. That is a huge win in my view. And then also the use of the boat ramp, which now you've got to pay as a resident, it would be for free. So alone, there alone has got my support for first reading.
Scott?
Yeah, I just want to echo what John said about the due diligence. And as people might know, I'm a bit of a due diligence hound here. I think since IOP received the assignment request over 2 months ago, I've received many questions from residents. However, four stand out and were asked multiple times. Number one, is the prospective tenant that will be responsible for the 23-year lease financially sound for the long term and self-sufficient? Two, do you know and can you verify who the principals and owners are behind the corporate structure that will be responsible for the lease? Three, do you know with the likely new services and boat club how the revenue share will work for IOP? And number four, what is the new tenant's business plan and what will happen to the marina layout, convenience store, parking lot, and docks that might impact residents? I can't answer or verify any of these questions. We deferred our first reading because IOP had not received all the requested due diligence materials. I have not received any new verifiable due diligence information, just a tweak to the proposed amendments. Yet we are being asked to proceed without the ability to verify answers to the most basic questions or offer the community any input such as a public forum, although I just heard we're going to have one. We have seen very professional PowerPoint slides and promised a balance sheet with an auditor's opinion, which is an incomplete set of financial statements based on a single point in time. It's a start, but we need a complete set of financials. Without verifiable due diligence, I cannot support these documents for our first reading. I recommend we assign the original lease pending successful and complete verifiable due diligence. Then we can support Mike Schuler and his team to occupy the premises and work together over the next year to improve and both parties evaluate the marina experience.
Question. Are we allowed to amend the lease after the first reading?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Wait. Ask your question again. Amend the lease?
The lease agreement.
The amendment.
The amendment.
Amend the amendment.
Got it. Amend the amendment.
I mean, it would need to be mutual, but
can't
yes.
Be, yes. And again, we most likely will. We've got the latest red line back from Schuler that we'll look at in a minute in the executive session, which we'll make some changes. So either we'll push back on some of those or accept them or whatever. So you would absolutely have changes, Jan.
Can I make a motion that we approve, that we vote on approving the lease as it's written today?
Not the way our agenda is written. We're authorizing, and the ordinance that's written is an amendment and an assignment. If we wanted to go down that path, we would need to direct our folks to create new ordinances and change a path. But I think we need to go through executive session before we come out and make a decision personally.
Well, should we now wait until after executive session to vote on this first reading?
Yes.
Now, is it possible to defer the first read in executive session?
You well, after executive
after
session.
After executive session.
And the news about the forum, yeah, I was going to say the news, I wasn't aware about the forum, but you know, I think maybe if Mike came and had the forum, it might help push things along.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kevin asked, don't we have a motion and a second? We do.
So that
was to get discussion on the table and have that. Again, we've got amendments that we need to look at, or a red line of an amendment we need to look at, two amendments. So, after Jimmy's point, I think it's prudent to vote after executive session.
All right, okay. We're postponing the vote to after executive session.
You need to vote on that?
Yes, we do.
Can I second?
Go ahead, hang on.
If you've got something, yeah, you've got, you need to take action. If you don't, then you need to postpone it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And let me second. Kevin, did you second?
I made the motion. No. Kevin
seconded. So for Jimmy's postponement.
I second. Councilmember Ward and Councilmember Anderson.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good. Next item is ordinance 2022-06, an ordinance to present a referendum question to the citizens of Isle of Palms at the next general election on the question of whether the electors approve reducing the size of city council from a mayor of 8 council members to a mayor and 6 council members. Looking for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Again, you've got a draft in your packet, and this, again, is not a approving anything. This is first reading, and this is just approval to put it on this fall's yes, sir.
Should I state again my position on this ordinance is I wish we had a petition from the citizens. Required a petition of 15% of registered voters. Instead of this body deciding for the citizens what to vote on and what not to vote on, I'd rather see this come from the residents.
Preston.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the steps we're taking to have this as a binding referendum lets the citizens do just that, to decide this November as to whether they want to reduce the size of council or not.
Jane?
I believe that we should wait until after we have gone to this workshop council 6-month period to see how that works, because I think a smaller council will be more effective with that workshop council type of format, and we won't know that until we've tried the workshops for a while.
Other questions, comments?
Just a clarification. Is there any feedback on how the question is being asked of the residents? As you know, the last time the city council looked at a similar ordinance was last year, and the way that the staggered terms are achieved is different. According to the question in the ordinance that you're considering today, it states that to preserve the staggered terms of council, one council member's seat will be eliminated at the expiration of the 2020-2024 term, and a second council member's seat will be eliminated at the expiration of the 2022-2026 term. So between 2024 and 2026, there would be an even number on council. There would be a total of 8 council members, and the total change would not become effective until end of 2026. So that is a change. I just want to make you all aware of it, and whether or not there's any questions or concerns before.
And to Desiree's comment, if our residents haven't seen the ordinance, the first part of the ordinance says, the question that would be on the ballot is, shall the city of Isle of Palms reduce the size of its city council from a mayor and 8 council members to a mayor and 6 council members, and then walks through the staggered term effectiveness.
Mr. Mayor, during that 2-year period of time, how do we deal with ties? Is that the mayor's?
Did I have to go to a positive result? If it's a tie, it's a negative.
Yeah, it'd be just like if somebody wasn't here.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no change. Thank you, Blair. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Hold on. Raise your hands, please.
Kevin, Jimmy, Jan.
Thank you.
So we need business. Our next meeting is Tuesday, 6 p.m., July 26th. I believe it's already July. Other item, miscellaneous business. We also may need to discuss in the executive session, but it's a discussion and consideration of recommendation from the city attorney to retain co-counsel for the purpose of reviewing the constitutionality of S-40 and the restriping of the IOP connector. Desiree, I don't know if we want to motion this and second it to get to discussion, or I know we need to have conversation in executive session on this primarily, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you may want to wait until you discuss it in executive session and then come back.
You won't do that. So we have 3 items for executive session, so I will make a motion. We go into executive session pursuant to South Carolina Code Section 30-4-70-A2 for the discussion, negotiation, incident to propose contractual agreements related to the marina, to receive legal advice on the appointment of co-counsel for the purpose of reviewing the constitutionality of S-40 and the restriping of the IOP connector, and for a discussion of personnel matters from the Employee Grievance Committee.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Off record at 8:04.